Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
Wow. You know, back in the day, we used to actually pop our own cans live on the show. It wasn't like a canned effect. Now that's part of the theme song. We used to have to pop our own cans open, folks. Those are the glory days.
Shotgunning.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, maybe not, use your own imagination. Okay. But speaking about the glory days, back in the day, they released a sports comedy called Slapshot. Starring Paul Newman as the captain of a failing hockey team that's about to get disenfranchised. Rolling Stone magazine said Slapshot captures the 1970s better than any other sports movie, and it might be the greatest hockey movie of all time, and one of the best malaise days 70s films ever. I looked up this term because I don't think people use the word malaise a lot. I've heard it in one other movie, and in this context, it probably means restlessness, but to like match 70s America, but it could also mean in the same context unhappiness or unease, because that also feels very 70s, right, Dave? Like if you think about
just
the time,
like an air of sadness.
Yeah, in general, right?
Yeah.
And to continue on the sad train, famous people are dying left and right. They just like forget it. 2021's not for me. A great actor, better humanitarian, Sidney Poitier. He lived all the way up into his 90s. He's not with us anymore. He was in the original Heat of the Night. Lilies of the Field, I think, is the one he won the Oscar for. Yeah. He was in the original Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. He directed Stir Crazy, which I thought was funny. That's a great comedy. I didn't know he directed that movie, but that's kind of cool. He's a really good actor. Like, he's like one of those actors that he came up during the time of like Big Speeches. Like every actor was like, you know, like really let you know that if they even simple things, like if they didn't like the grilled cheese on their plate, like it was like a soliloquy, like we're going to tell you just how much we don't like the grilled cheese and you're going to believe that they don't like their grilled cheese. So it's like, not to downplay anything that he did, but it's kind of like he made it like seem effortless, like a bunch of hard work goes into like all the stuff that he did. But when you watch him, you don't feel like it's hard work, even though it is, you know what I mean? Like he had like this air of like it being effortless.
Had a certain gravitas, you know, to use a
yeah, word. Man. And like he was like the first black actor to win a leading man award for the Academy Awards, mm-hmm. I think. Like yeah. There was an
there
honorary
another
award.
One until Denzel in like the 2000s.
Yeah, crazy. But I mean, it shows you like the awards, whatever. Like that's the other thing I was going to bring up with. Who cares? Like the Golden Globes are pretty much a sham. A lot of actors bailed on it this year. They didn't televise it. So I don't know. What's the weight of these actor to actor award shows anyway? Like it used to be kind of like a whole event. Like I remember Academy Awards used to sit down and like it used to be like the Super Bowl for movie fans. You know what I mean? Like it used to sit down and like it actually, and culturally, like it meant something. Like I remember, you know, sometimes it gets too political, but like every once in a while something good happens. Like they bring somebody on stage and talk about like a real thing. And then at one point it got too political and it's like, are we even talking about the movies anymore? Or are we just talking about like society and culture? But anyway, and then like out of the blue, Bob Saget passes away like hours after doing a comedy show. Right. And so everybody should remember him as, Tanner from Full House. He's the dad and like America's Funniest Home Videos, like the original host. And they talked about like, oh, that used to be like, yeah, that was like YouTube that used to air on TV and he used to make jokes and play videos. It's pretty crazy. I mean, like he literally posted to his Twitter like an hour or two after doing a comedy set at like a club in Florida. And then like and then the next morning or like sometime in the middle of the night, like he's found dead in his hotel room.
Yeah.
Which is like so super intense, but
I mean, he was he always kind of railed against his Full House role after the fact because he was, you know, kind of known as a filthy comic.
Oh, yeah. He's like the number one most foul-mouthed comic on the planet, basically.
Go watch him. I mean, if you can find it somewhere, I actually went and found it last night on YouTube, but just find his bit on the movie The Aristocrats. If you want to get
it. Which is basically a movie about a dirty joke, about comedians telling the same joke over and over again to see who can make it more filthy and like outrageous between the comics.
And I think Bob Saget did win that one, if you've ever watched it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, like there's like a general outcry, like people are like, oh, I can't believe it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially after like, you know, well, there was also another filmmaker, the guy who produced like Paper Moon. What's that guy's name?
Peter Bogdanovich.
So there's like a handful of a crop of talented people that just went out. I think it was my mom that told me like they die in threes or something like that. They die in handfuls. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's always true. Like,
talked about at work. Yeah, that
really that they die that they die in like groups. Like,
threes, well, that means there's two threes, more coming because we had Betty White, Sidney Poitier, and then Peter Bogdanovich, and then Bob Saget started a new cycle. So
our numbers are up, Dave. Now I don't know if we're famous enough to be in the crop, but
2022 on thin ice.
Oh man,
10 days in. So
it's also weird to like, this is what the podcast has been about for like 2 or 3 weeks. Like, what's gonna happen next week? It's like, here's the home video headline, folks, and it's all suck. It's all like in memoriam. It's all like the worst. It's a real downer.
Well, what's so funny is like ages ago we always told each other like, well, let's not focus on too many like people who died stories. But like,
I couldn't take it. It was like, was it last year or the year before? I was like, yeah. If they're really big, you got to say something if you love them so much. But like, Yaphet, what's his name? Yaphet, Yaphet Kotto, who's like an alien, another actor we like from like Hill Street Blues. And like, yeah, so sometimes you have to stop and say something, but it sucks. There was like a period of like 6 months on the show. I was like, we're not doing it, guys. Like, it's just wait. It's like one after we're not doing it anymore. Like, it's too much. It's too much for a movie show. It's like, open the curtain. It's like, open the curtain. The show starts. By the way,
right?
You know, we're at another funeral. Damn.
We might need to draw the line.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you draw the line? Speaking of drawing the line, let's talk about tonight's movie. In a small New England town of Charleston, the local mill is about to lay off 10,000 workers, and the town's minor hockey league, the Charlestown Chiefs, is not doing any better. After years of failure, it's going to be the last season. And the head player, whatever, he's like the coach and the captain of the team, Reggie Dunlap, played by Paul Newman. He acquires these three players called the Hanson brothers who played really rough and in a thuggish style that seems to get the fans going a lot. So he's like, oh, let's reset. Let's do something different this year and like really up the ante on the ice and do like a big show rather than play hockey. And it starts to turn things around for the team. But I guess, like, I mean, there's a comeuppance kind of in the movie, right? But anyway, so as it gets dangerous with the violence on the hockey ice, we'll see if Dave also has dangerous facts about this movie, Slapshot. What do you got, Dave?
All right, let's see what we got here. So this
was probably a corny tie-in. I did my best. That's all I had for you this time.
A plus, yeah.
So this was actually the third movie between Paul Newman and director George Roy Hill. After Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, as well as the Best Picture winning The Sting. And Paul Newman has gone on to state that this was actually the most fun he's ever had making a movie, and actually a personal favorite of the movies that he's actually made. Many of the scenes with the Hanson brothers were actually improvised. And for example, the scene with their toy cars were actually their own. So that's something they brought to it. The writer of this movie's brother is actually a professional hockey player. So that's, you know, where a lot of the inspiration came from for this movie. And many of the players in the movie were real life hockey players, including the Hanson brothers. And, this was also based off of a a team called the Johnstown Jets, which the Chiefs were based on and a lot of the players played for. Steve Carlson, Jeff Carlson, and David Hanson were actually all offered spin-off movies after this, but they decided to focus on hockey, so we never got those movies.
Well, we do eventually. There's actually two sequels.
That's true. Yeah, there were direct-to-video sequels, but you know, without Paul Newman, it just didn't feel like worth mentioning. Although you get Stephen Baldwin.
I was going to say, you get one of the lesser Baldwin brothers. But actually,
you get the Hanson brothers back.
But what's interesting about the B, C, D, and D Baldwins, they're now actually A material. Because the captain of the team is now like the lowest player now. You know what I'm saying? Like Alec Baldwin's no longer shining so brightly in the sky these days. You know what I'm saying?
I still say, even with his troubles at the moment, he still shines a little brighter than his brothers.
Wow, that's rough. All right.
Sorry.
Okay, so let's go right into favorite bits. Okay. Hey, Jordan, did you like anything about this movie that you would call your favorite bit?
Yes, John. Actually, yeah. No, I do have some favorite bits. I loved, the scene with the national anthem and the ref keeps checking over his shoulder, to make sure everybody's in line, and right after they just wailed on each other. And I love that the ref...
Oh, yeah, the Hanson brothers are covered in blood. Like, they're dripping blood from their eyeglasses.
All over the ice, just standing so still for the national anthem. Ref goes over to, you know, start yelling, and he just screams in the ref's face that he's listening to the national anthem.
Yeah, we say I'm listening to the song. Exactly. Great.
That moment on, I was just laughing out loud really hard at this movie. The second favorite would of course be the striptease at the end, you know. They are on buff dudes in this movie. So
it's well choreographed, you know? If Dave's always looking for professional skaters, you know, just to put it in slow mode for, he looked like he was doing a pretty good job there, Dave, huh? What do you think?
Didn't do too bad.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, I love the fact that he finally joined into the shenanigans, Ned.
In his own way, because I thought he was going to snap and get violent, and then he went a totally different way, which is, that's pretty unique. Yeah.
A little striptease on the ice. Yeah. There you go.
Dave? What's your favy?
I really like this movie. This is the first time getting to watch this. Anything with the Hanson brothers, Jordan mentioned one of my bits I liked. The other I alluded to in the facts, the scene where they're in the hotel room playing the race cars. You can tell those brothers have a specific banter with each other. They have they're brothers, of
super
course.
Goofy.
So they clearly have a chemistry and they just felt, I mean, because they were real brothers, it just felt like brothers bickering, of course. You know, and of course they're Canadian, so that adds just something about the accents adds to it for some reason.
Well, they have uncanny timing.
Yeah,
they can speak for each other. Yeah.
There's a scene, I guess we're going to earn our explicit for this bit, but this actually has a lot of bad. I was surprised that even for the time it came out, I was still kind of surprised at the language in the movie. But there's a part that caught me off guard in the first 3 minutes where somebody yells at one of the hockey players, "Oh, you frog pussy!" It just killed me because it came out, and I just didn't expect it.
Do you mean the combos that they use, they put the words together in this one?
Yeah,
to make insults and phrases, casual phrases.
I'm gonna have to listen for that one next time.
That's funny. No, this movie really caught me off guard. I mean, I knew it was supposed to be funny, but I wasn't prepared for how funny this movie was.
Well, in some ways, the language hasn't aged well. It's definitely a time capsule for early 70s movies. Agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize, it's kind of like watching, what is that kids movie from the 80s? Beetle. And they drop the other F word a lot. They kill monsters. Oh, Monster Squad. Yeah, it's the kids who kill monsters. They drop the other F word, right? The lesser of the two evil F words, but it's still pretty bad. And in modern, it doesn't really have a place today. Yeah. So this movie had it quite a bit, I realized it was almost intentional in this movie for a specific reason for the storytelling, because it's they were poking fun at stereotypical masculinity and also masculinity in the locker room, which gets really offensive, but they're not really offensive, but it is, and it just naturally is. But then because of that dance sequence at the end, like, I was like, oh, okay, so the language is even part of the setup. Like, even taking it to that level makes the forfeit believable, right? Because the other player is getting really bent out of shape because he can't handle questioning his own identity with what's happening on the ice, right? Can't deal with his feelings, so he's like, yeah, if, you know, and then you believe the forfeit. Oh, that's a spoiler alert I guess. See, I got excited and wanted to make a point, and then I spoiled the detail. Oh, well. My favorite scene is, you know what, like, there's like an undercurrent in this movie of identity and sexuality, which actually I didn't think about when I watched it this time or before, but now we're talking about it and maybe it resonates a little bit. But one of my favorite scenes is like when he hooks up with somebody's wife and she's like being honest about questioning her sexuality. And it's like a very intimate scene. I was like, wow, like it's a very honest scene in a comedy. And for some reason that just stood out as my favorite scene. I mean, maybe I'm partial to the nudity. I don't know. I'm just like, I mean, if I'm being honest, like, who knows? Maybe I like it. That's a risque scene. But I just like the banter. I like the conversation in the scene. I thought it was it's either good writing or good acting. I can't really tell the difference. Maybe it's a blend of the two. I'm not sure.
Well, I would say it's definitely a blend of the two. And one thing, you know, worth pointing out is, you know, it was written by a woman. So you think this is a very masculine, you know, tough guy movie. You know, but written by a woman. So like this is, you know, essentially from a woman's point of view in a lot of ways. So it stands to reason why some of those scenes kind of like seem like they have a gentle touch, I guess, or, you know, I don't know.
No, it was there for sure. And I liked how like Lily and Ned's relationship too, obviously had like its exploration. And then, you know, Lily moving in with Reggie, you know, like there had been a little bit of awkwardness, like finding her identity through that as well. So I liked it. The whole, you know, lots of relationships that were explored in the movie for sure.
Yeah, that's another thing it does really well. Actually, it has a pretty good attempt at like building all these different relationships. Like even like there's like three characters that have a relationship with the TV commentator, right? Who's like covering like all the coverage of the games. And pokes fun at them and they get it right back to him and then like they almost get his show shut down a couple of times.
Right. The whole Jordan scene when Ned's up there and like the other guy comes up and the announcer's like practically yelling into this guy's ass, like trying to his butt's in his face. I thought it was hilarious, you know, the whole setup of that.
Have you seen any other hockey movies like Goon? Have you seen the Sean William Scott hockey movie called Goon?
Okay, you know, I can't say that I've seen a lot of other hockey movies.
After watching Slapshot again, I could see that like Goon borrows a lot of story elements and a lot of like tonal, you know, content from a movie like this, like right down to like the funny like TV show announcer thing with like inappropriate content like on the air and talking about the hockey games. I was like, oh yeah, it fits right in. Like, definitely. I think it's Jay Baruchel, who's like another actor. I think did he write that movie, Dave, or he has something to do with
it? I believe he wrote them, and I think he might have directed the second one.
I feel like he's definitely seen Slapshot. I would imagine he's definitely seen this movie. I mean, maybe the hockey world's like that. I mean, I mean, I'm in New England, but I'm kind of like on the outskirts of like the whole, I don't really ice skate. So I know a lot of hockey fans here, and maybe the whole world is like that. I don't know.
I mean, I know that, and when I was reading up on it, like the hockey world's embraced this movie, like it's, you know, it was, you know, in the VHS days, this was like passed around like a handshake, like, oh, you got to watch, you know, Slapshot if you haven't seen it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm sure there was a lot of truth based in the, you know, movie. So I liked it a lot. It was good.
Well, if we were betting Mexican Coca-Cola in a glass bottle, because that's great soda. If we were betting a great bottle of soda, I would win two sodas, because I think I can predict that you guys are going to binge now this movie. That's what I think.
I guess you're getting you're getting a Mexican soda for my participation, I suppose. Yes, I say binge now. I really enjoyed this. This is what Mexican I was looking for.
Have you had Mexican Coca-Cola? Yeah,
it's that real cane syrup. It's the cane sugar in there. So good.
Thank you, cartels, for murdering millions to bring us Mexican Coca-Cola. Don't kill me. I'm an ally. And then I get a call from my sponsors. They're like, John, dude, all your ads are canceled. You just endorsed the cartel. It would be really funny. It's like after this episode, there's like a splurge of like spikes from Mexico of like listeners. We have Brazilian listeners, but I wonder if they can get the Mexican Coca-Cola. The only reason I bring that up is I was watching an interview. Somebody was drinking a bottle of Mexican Coca-Cola, and I was like, yeah, that actually is good.
Sounds so good.
Again, right I told Jordan and Dave, like, I'm all over the place tonight. I'm like preoccupied.
Yes, you get two Coca-Colas. Binge
there
now.
You go. So binge now. I get two Cokes, and I mean, because I've already seen it, so I would say binge later, but just because I've seen it, right? It's like,
yeah, but the whole idea of our rating system is to like tell people whether
what sucks is like, but the thing is like, I know these other hockey movies have come out after this one, and I know they borrowed from this one, but it's just weird. My gut is to say like, go watch these two other hockey movies if you like those, then go watch Slapshot. Like this is maybe too much hockey in this movie, and like they need something to like, you know, like. Like, well, what's their entryway? You know, entry, movies, you know.
So why not watch Goon, Slapshot, and then Second Goon?
You know what I think is pretty good? I've watched it like four times. Is the 1980 hockey movie that Disney made with Kurt Russell, which is about the Olympic team winning the Olympic gold for beating Russia in the 1980 Winter Games or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that when it first came out, and I really enjoyed it, but I haven't gone back to it.
It's called Miracle. I think it's called Miracle.
Yeah.
Anything with Kurt Russell in it, I'll watch it.
Well, yeah. What's funny is, like, I had to watch that movie and learn real history about the real event and then realize that Mighty Ducks 2 essentially stole the real-life story of the 1980 hockey team's victory. You know, like, they just retold that story, but for kids. I mean, that's the real gateway entry into hockey movies is just go watch Mighty Ducks. There you go.
Well, at least the first two.
Staff picks, folks. We get to talk about other things besides hockey movies to see if Jordan and Dave, or even me, have watched things that you guys should also watch besides hockey movies. I almost called you Jordy. Like, hey, Jordy, what's your?
I'll take Jordy. People call me Jordy. Yeah. Okay.
Call you that. That's not fair. I'd rather call you Savage. Hey, what's your Savage staff pick?
I like nicknames coming naturally, so if Jordy was your first thought, roll with it. I'm cool with it. I did watch a Netflix original that came out pretty recently, Unforgivable. It's with Sandra Bullock. If you want something, ladies who are out there listening, and you just want a good cry at the TV movie, that one was like it was a sob one.
That's actually on my list of things to watch, and I know I'm not going to watch that tonight because I don't want to cry tonight.
Wait, what was it? I'm going to write this down if I have a pen.
Unforgivable.
Yeah.
Well, I know it got. It sounds like it has your seal of approval, so I'll be watching that probably in the next week.
Oh yeah, it was good. I was definitely crying at the end there.
Man, that sounds like it's going to go sideways. That's what that sounds like.
No, it was good. Won't spoil it for you. So just it was a good one. Netflix, you know, I like that those are available. What about you, Dave? Anything?
I've actually watched quite a few good things in the last week. I'm not going to go into detail on everything. The two big movies I saw this week that, you know, a lot of critics have talked about, Best of 2021. I saw Licorice Pizza and Nightmare Alley. Highly recommend those if you actually live in. You know, if you're comfortable going to a theater, but the one I want to mention because you know, Peter Bogdanovich passing away this week, I wanted to find a movie of his I hadn't seen, and I checked out something called Noises Off, which I watched it free on Canopy. It's basically about a stage play that keeps going wrong, and it takes place over three performances. One, you see how it's supposed to be in front of the audience.
Wait, is that the one with Christopher Reeve?
Yes. It's got
to be.
Oh,
that's a good movie.
Christopher Reeve, Carol Burnett, Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers, John Ritter. But yeah, it's about. Basically, it's a stage production that just constantly goes wrong, and you get to see behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, or in front of the stage. It has some of the best physical comedy that I've seen in a long time. Like, I was really laughing out loud, and it seems to be like a movie that's kind of forgotten to time. So,
Wait, but both these movies have Brad, what's his name, right?
Oh, the new one's Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
I mean, there's those I highly recommend.
Isn't he playing Peter in Licorice Pizza?
He plays something Peters. He's a real life character who is married.
Oh no, wait, he's playing John Peters, the
John
producer?
Peters, yeah, who was dating Barbara Streisand in the '70s. He's a real character in that movie. He kind of goes off the rails.
Well, there's like two famous Peter producers. There's John Peters and like Peter Gruber or something. And they're like,
yeah, Peter.
It's like the two Peters or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
for the
Peter Bart, I think is another one. I don't know. But yeah, well, check out those movies if you want to go to a theater. But check out Noises Off if you want to see something at home that doesn't get talked about much. That's really hilarious. I don't know. What about you, John?
Well, I've been talking up this Beatles documentary. They released Peter Jackson was hired to take like 180 reels of film. I don't know how it's like 179. Hours. What is it? 170 hours or something of film.
I think they said 60 hours, but I mean,
60 hours?
60 hours to sift through is a lot.
So compiled down to like 6.5
hours. Like 8 hours.
It's like a mini series. It's like one film released into three episodes that are each like 2.5 hours long. It's called the Get Back Sessions, trying to record their Get Back album. But like, it's at an interesting time for the band. Like, this is like a warts and all kind of thing. Like, there's very little editing, and you watch it. Well, I mean, there's a lot of technique that Jackson has to employ to stitch the movie together, because sometimes there's more going on in audio and there's not enough film to represent what's happening, but it was captured in audio. And then sometimes the film is like there and the audio is not. So you kind of like manipulates the stuff a little bit, but it's like you see the band and you see their creative process. And you see where they're at in their own lives at the time. And I'm like, wow, like this is like, you have to like regrow an attention span. Like over the years, we've made it real lazy to like not pay attention to things. And we have access to so many things. That it's like, you have to slow down and like really dedicate yourself to watching it, which probably a lot of people are like, well, I'm not going to do that. But it's like, I was like regrowing my attention span to try to sit there and watch the footage. And I know I'm missing like 1,000 things. I'm like, I'm going to have to watch it again. But if I was a music teacher, I would show this. And if also, if I was like an academia, like if I like was a teacher at a film school or a real instructor, I'd be like, yeah, we got to cinema verte this thing and like fly on the wall. We're going to watch this thing, or at least tell people that they can go watch it, because it's an experience for sure.
I think there is a way, because it is like all total when you add up all three episodes. I think it's like close to 8 hours or something like that, because one episode is like 3 hours.
Yeah, almost 3 hours, yeah.
But the thing is like, yes, I cannot sit, you know, I have a pretty good attention span, but I cannot sit for 8 hours in a row. I have other things to do. But, you know, the way it is structured is kind of nice, because it goes day by day. So if anybody's intimidated by the length,
but
treat it like a TV series and watch it day one, stop, come back day two, you know, if that's what gets you through it.
But you're definitely watching real people, and like you can tally up certain things. Like they eat a lot of toast, they drink a lot of tea, but they eat a lot of toast, and they are bickering. They are bickering, like that. They're like, you know, 50 years into a marriage, and like they're rearranging the furniture. Like they're like, there's some serious tension. So it's like you're watching their real lives, not just like watching the band make a product or whatever. Like watching their real lives, and I got a lot of more respect for Ringo. Like, they make a lot of jokes about this guy, but if you watch this thing, like, your respect for that guy like increases by 1,000%. Like, my perception of him is completely different because of the media than just watching this and like seeing it play out. And if this thing is more honest to like how Ringo actually was, like, he deserves a lot more credit than he's probably ever gotten.
Yeah, well, you and I were talking about it amongst ourselves, and like I was even saying that Yoko is kind of redeemed in this movie, because, you know, she's always shown as the villain, when in reality, nobody really had a problem with her, and she never like threw her weight around and tried to like, you know, be Lady Macbeth and try to control things. It was never like that at all. Like, everybody seemed fine, but they kind of always lumped her as the problem.
Well, again, if this is accurate at all, again, like, documentaries are interesting because they're shaped by the filmmaker, so it could be completely biased, or it could be honest, and you wouldn't necessarily know the difference. Like, she's not being manipulative, as far as I can tell. She's almost like, it's almost like she's not even part of that world. Like, she doesn't really, she's there to support, you know, John Lennon, but she's not really part of that world.
Yeah, so, she's just kind of there just to be with her guy. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
so all this stuff is happening around her, and she just happens to, like, cohabitate the space. You know what I mean? But, like, each one of them has their hanger-ons. Like, Paul's wife comes at one point, and, like,
Ringo's, yeah.
George Harrison has, like, a whole flock of Hare Krishna monks that, for some reason, follow him around wherever he goes, and they get invited into the studio or whatever. And obviously, the Beatles mean something totally different for people of, like, a certain of the Beatles generation than it does to me. And, like, they always talk about, like, you're either an Elvis fan or you're a Beatles fan and nothing in between. The great thing about, like, being a modern music appreciator and having a cell phone that has 1,000 music apps is you can dip your into anything. You can go to all kinds of genres. Like, like Jordan has got like all these genres I never heard of, man. But, anyway, that's that. I mean, that's a really long staff pick segment on the show. It's almost like I'm waving a flag. Like, I want people to watch it, and maybe I do.
No, it's worth a watch. I mean, there's so many great moments in it. I mean, like,
well, I had a run of stuff that I was like disappointed with, and then I watched this, and I was like, it feels like I'm exercising to watch this, but I think there's value to watching it. So,
I mean, you have to dedicate some time. I mean, you know, like, I watch it over the course of a week. I mean, I think that's kind of the best way to do it, but it's
do you guys totally ever see Across the Universe that does like a whole musical around the Beatles songs?
Please don't bring that up to me.
I got to, because it uses a lot of songs from this album, and also it replicates the concert on top of the roof.
That is a beautiful movie that is just awful. It has the worst Beatles covers. I hated that movie. although it has one great cover of I Want to Hold Your Hand, and then but that was the very first song in the movie, and then it fell off a cliff. Yeah,
for me. I like what they did with Hey Jude, where he's drinking at the bar. I thought that was cool.
I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people who love it. It's beautiful to look at, but I couldn't stand that movie.
We're watching something wild next week. I sent everybody this DVD. I don't know if that's the best way to watch it. I'm sure it's on demand. Next week, we're going to watch this movie called Ice Pirates. So in this movie, the future's kind of screwed up. And unlike Children of Men, where nobody can have babies, in this future, there's like no water. So spaceships have to go find it. That's why they're called Ice Pirates. I don't know if that's giving it away or not. But it's zany. It introduces the audience to something called space herpes. It's going to be a wild ride, folks. So come back for that next week. Yeah.
An adventure.
Truly an adventure. Dave's excited.
I've never seen it. This will be a first time watch.
Well, there you go. There's actually context to that that I started before I was playing the end song, the end of the episode. I was sitting here pondering if I would actually get in trouble for my cartel joke. I mean, what's worse, pissing off your business partners or what if the cartel drinks something that's not, what if they don't drink that cola? What if they have like a, what if they drink Fresca? And like, if only John had said Fresca, we'd all be good, but he didn't say Fresca. Now he's in trouble.
I forgot about Fresca.
Everyone forgot about Fresca.
Rush a Fresca right now. Sounds so good.
Okay. That's your mission. Find a Fresca.
That's my mission. There we go.
Yeah. Review it next week.
Fill up the car. Get some Fresca. Got it.
There you go.